Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning from our gospel lesson: on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. We come this morning to the second Sunday of Easter, just 1 week beyond our joyful declarations of the risen Christ, and I hope that that joy is still a part of your own heart and mind this week. We really did have a great opportunity to refresh again that Easter joy on Wednesday. As Pastor Jennings mentioned, we had a standing room only crowd from our school children, and lots and lots of grandparents and family members that joined us, and we were really able to just kind of do Easter all over again. It was a great, great blessing. And there's good reason to repeat that Easter proclamation numerous times. The resurrection is indeed the most pivotal moment in human history, because it is the event that ushers in the era of reconciliation between God and His creation. The empty tomb bears witness to the power of God, to His defeat, even over death. It demonstrates that God keeps His promises, a promise declared throughout the Scriptures, that the sacrifice of His own Son would work salvation for us. It is a day that we pull out all the stops in our celebrating, and it's one that really can't be contained into a single event. And so you'll notice that in this season, we call it the season of Easter, you know, just extending the glory of that morning. And so with this idea of victory bursting forth out of the tomb, we look in on the disciples this morning, and suddenly we observe a sharp contrast to our own jubilant celebration. The doors, we are told, were locked. The scene John portrays for us this morning, if you go back into the gospel, into chapter 20, it's just one verse after the Easter announcement to the disciples. So John 20, verse 18 reads, "Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord.'" Next verse, "On the evening of the first day, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews." So before we go any further, put those two images side by side. Mary Magdalene, "I have seen the Lord. He is risen." Disciples, "Hide, lock the doors. The Jewish leaders are probably after us too." What a contrast. It hardly sounds like joyful victory. One wonders also if the disciples' reaction would have been even different than what is portrayed. It would have made sense if, when Mary said, "I have seen the Lord," suddenly the disciples may have felt a need to hide from their Lord, out of a sense of embarrassment or shame, because remember, every single one of them betrayed him in one way or another throughout the course of his passion. They all fled to protect themselves. Now suddenly, according to Mary, he's back. Surely they must be asking themselves, now what? What does it all mean? But I doubt that in those moments the disciples were ready for much careful consideration. They were reacting from a purely human point of view. And humanly speaking, they were in fear for good reason. They had just witnessed the grotesque execution of their master, and they had cause to wonder whether they would be next. So here comes this remarkable resurrection news, and yet for them, the situation on the ground, so to speak, hadn't changed. There still appeared good reason to fear the Jewish leadership. So the doors were locked. Jesus miraculously appears before them. He brings them a greeting of peace and a demonstration of himself. The wounds from his hand and his side, he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them, and he has a word of instruction. He says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus says, in effect, you cannot stay behind these locked doors. And yet, 8 days later, the doors are still locked. Jesus miraculously appears among them again, and he brings a greeting of peace, again a demonstration of himself, this time specifically to Thomas, inviting Thomas to touch the scars, to touch his side. And he also conveys a blessing to all who have not seen and yet have believed. And so he's looking well ahead in time, all the way down to our time, when those of us who do not see him physically yet believe in the promise of the resurrection. So 2,000 years after that first Easter, it bears asking, are the doors still locked for fear? And I hope that you'll consider that personally as we explore a couple of ways in which that may or may not be true. Because I believe that we must confess that the answer is all too frequently yes. Our church doors may indeed be unlocked for worship, but to a stranger, to a potential visitor, simply unlocked does not necessarily mean for them open. It is the door of invitation that we ought to consider this morning. Personal invitation. That is the door that so often remains locked for fear of rejection. What if I invite my neighbor to come to worship and they decline? Will it be awkward between us? Those are questions of fear. We are no less sent with the task of proclaiming the joyful news of the empty tomb than were the first disciples. Jesus' directive, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you, applies to all of us just as much as it did to those first disciples. Why then are the doors of our own bold testimony so often locked? That door too can be locked by fear of rejection. We have a tendency to hide in what one might call the private rooms of our faith, for fear of the world. As events in this last week in Sri Lanka have horribly illustrated, there are places in the world where one can fear for physical safety as a Christian, but that is not here. Our fear is different. We fear our reputation in the secular world. We fear those who might accuse us of being ignorant or closed-minded somehow to the latest social trend, those who might separate themselves from us for fear of any religious talk. We fear being excluded. The doors of personal Christian sacrifice are also often locked for fear that such a selfless act may cost too much. Too much time, too much money, too much emotional investment in another life, because life is complicated, and if we get invested in someone else's life, we may fear that it takes up too much of our own time, and so we stand back. And even the doors of our personal confession can be locked for fear of truly confronting what separates us in our lives from reconciliation with God. President Roosevelt opened his first term in office with that famous phrase, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." While that may be a bold rallying cry for a nation in a time of crisis, it's not entirely true. The one thing that we truly have to fear is separation from God. That ought to be a truly fearsome thought until we recognize again the overpowering truth of the empty tomb and the risen Lord. And there at the tomb, fear, all the fear that encroaches upon our lives should give way to a joy-filled confidence. Well, thankfully, our Lord attends to all of our fears in the same way he attended to the fears of his first disciples. He shows up. He promised in his word, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. He shows up. Even though we cannot see him in the flesh, we can believe with confidence in his presence among us right here, right now, this morning. He conveys his peace to his first disciples as he does to us. Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. He shares himself, inviting us to sacramentally touch, see, taste, receive the risen Savior. Take and eat. This is my body given for you, he says. And he promises the presence of the Holy Spirit. When he said, the Counselor, the Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And when his disciples were faced with the prospect of proclaiming the truth in the face of persecution, he also made this promise. He said, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And so do we really believe that he will do less for us when we unlock our doors of fear and speak the truth according to God's will? Surely not. Surely he is with us where we are gathered. For the tomb is open, the Lord is risen, so let us throw open any doors in our hearts that seem locked for fear and allow our Lord to fill us instead with faith. For our risen and living Lord is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. And may the peace of our Lord that surpasses our human